Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
Even when you're playing music, you're always listening to your baby, especially when RSV is on your mind. Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, is the first and only long-acting preventative antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV or respiratory syncytial virus in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh with you. It is Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. A lot of good stuff coming up this hour. We're going to have Dave Showerpan here at 7:40. Reset the weekend that was. Maybe he can explain what that NBA All-Star Game line movement was. Brian Fonseca will be here in 10 minutes to break down the All-Star Game, as well as some of the second half items to look for in the association. And then Joe Lisi stops by to have an interesting conversation around Russell Wilson. Our odds for his next team, a lot of talk around the Pittsburgh Steelers. What Lisi thinks is the best fit for Russ is something we will get into. I do want to let people know the puck drops, we are on Braden Point, okay? Over half an assist at minus 115. Slow start to February, but this is a guy who averaged more than assists per game every other game, coming off of a game without an assist. Little hot run with 3 points in his last two games at a high team total. Look, this the over-under for the game is a 7 between Tampa Bay and Ottawa. 3.5 is the team total, heavily juiced to the over there for the Lightning. So Braden Point could score one, but I'm hoping he's involved with an assist in at least one of these Tampa Bay Lightning goals. So keep your eyes locked there. But we're going to throw it over to Davis Maddock, who on Friday gave us a same-game parlay for some soccer. He's going to run it back here again over in the Bundesliga, or actually a little Champions League action I think we get here from Davis Maddock. Here's a little same-game parlay.
All right, guys, we are back for another same-game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. No NBA, not going to pretend to be your college basketball tout here on the program. So we're going to go to some Tuesday afternoon Champions League, PSV Eindhoven versus Borussia Dortmund. We are going to take the away side here, Borussia Dortmund on the money line. This is the first leg of our same game parlay. Just honestly, a higher quality team, a team that is dealing with a little bit of injuries right now, but bar and away, I expect them to be the better side in this two-legged tie. And then we are going to add their striker, Niklas Füllkrug, who is having one of the best seasons of his career for Borussia Dortmund right now, as an anytime goal scorer. And because this is an away leg, we're going to get some juicy odds here, +539 for the same game parlay of the Borussia Dortmund money line and Niklas Füllkrug as an anytime goal scorer. Good luck this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon, everybody.
All right, there you go. Davis Maddock looking to go 2 for 2 with some soccer SGPs. Our radio audience is with us again on a Monday night. SiriusXM Channel 159, Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions. NBA win totals. So there are a few really interesting numbers. The highest number on the board is the Boston Celtics. with a ridiculous asking price. Their updated win total is 63.5. They are 43-12. 21-6 is what you need from Boston. 21-6 to get through that number. It's too much for me. Now, they do have the third easiest strength of schedule remaining, and they obviously are currently winning at an excellent pace, but that's not a number I can get to. I considered a Clippers under. That number is 55.5. They need to go 20-9 to get over that total. I do think we are getting closer to Kawhi Leonard missing some time, banged up a little bit heading into the All-Star break. Again, it's just kind of inevitable, but they have the seventh hardest schedule remaining. Look, the Clippers, part of the reason why they can keep up the winning pace in the regular season like this is because they are loaded at the top, and Harden has found that rhythm. So that is a number that I backed off of as well. Your low, low win totals, it's who you expect, right? Wizards, 15.5. San Antonio Spurs, 17.5. And then the low number on the board, that belong to the Detroit Pistons at 13.5 wins. I wanted to bet a San Antonio number just kind of going into it because I think Wemby could be even better for these final 27 or so games, but the schedule is just too difficult. I can't get there. I'd rather bet on him game to game. I'd rather bet Wemby props game to game. And also, I just don't really trust Pop, and there is no reason for me to trust Greg Popovich. I will let you know that the five easiest strength of remaining schedules from easiest to what would then be 50 easiest, Orlando by a lot, then Brooklyn, Boston, Miami, which is key, and Memphis. And the Miami win total, it looks pretty high. We don't know when Jimmy's coming back, but a lot of that is due to with the easiest strength of schedule that they have. The five most difficult strength of schedules, hardest to fifth hardest, would be Phoenix by a lot, San Antonio, Milwaukee, Utah, and then Charlotte. So a good luck to the Hornets there and their current win total booked at 18.5, which does have juice towards the over. But I'm betting two win totals here at the All-Star break, and they both come from teams that are inside that top five hardest schedule remaining. My favorite is Milwaukee over 50.5 wins. Look, I know it's bad with Doc, but that's why we're getting the number that we're getting. 16-10 is what you need out of Milwaukee in order to get over this number. If you want the Knicks live win total, it's seven. You have to go 17-10. The Knicks are injured and not as good. We know that. Why is this number this number? Now, you could say part of that is strength of schedule, and that is part of it. But I look through the Bucks schedule. If you, at the moment, had to power rate this schedule, I think Milwaukee's favored in 19 of these games. So that's a significant advantage here at the midway point. But these numbers are getting dropped because everybody's fading Doc Rivers, and I get that. But we typically fade Doc when we get to the playoffs. I think this regular season run here, out of the All-Star break, where I think there's going to be legitimate momentum for this basketball team, right? And if you look, here's our first couple of games coming out of the break. At Minnesota, that's tough, no doubt, right? But it's the very first game. I think they could pack a punch. At Philly, we don't expect Embiid to be playing. Home against Charlotte, at Chicago. If you just look at those five games, right, they really should go 4-1. Now, I know saying a team should win 80% of any stretch of games might feel like a lot, but I don't think that is. And then they're going to get moving towards a West Coast trip after that. So that is a critical part of the schedule there. After Chicago, they host the Clips, and then they're on the West for four consecutive. So that's an important run for me. But I think that they can knock that down. And I think you're going to see Milwaukee surprise people here record-wise. It wouldn't surprise me if people start to buy back in on the Bucks before the postseason, and then we get to resume order and fade Doc Rivers when the playoffs begin. The other win total that I'm on is from the team with the hardest remaining schedule, which is the Phoenix Suns. Now, look, if I had to go through this, you need them to be 16-11, 59.3% in win percentage. They currently win 60% of their games. So you already have a little bit of an edge. But for me, I look through this remaining schedule, 27 games. I think I would say they're favored in 15 of them. So that's under. But I'm getting plus 118, which is key. But it's also about what we've seen from Phoenix in these 18.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Games heading into the All-Star break, which is a 14-4 record, which is 78% win percentage. And that falls in line with what I would expect from a Kevin Durant, Devin Booker-led basketball team in the regular season, which is regular season domination. And that's what Phoenix can provide. So to get plus money here, I like what the Phoenix Suns bring to the table. I'm going to play their over 48.5 wins, checking in at plus 118. I'm going to get Brian Fonseca's thoughts on these two teams and a couple more next year on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on SportsGrid, I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Brian Fonseca, who joined us throughout this NBA season and potentially a little bit more now with things ramping up in the association coming off of what was, I guess, a controversial weekend of NBA action. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I don't have, I don't want to burn anybody down because of the All-Star game. So I think I'm a little more mellow in this instance, as it relates to sports than other people are.
I have a few quick questions for you, and then we'll talk some teams kind of moving forward. But you know a lot of people I know in the basketball betting space, and I'm just curious, did you see how this total was dropping for the All-Star game? And could you make any sense of it? Because I was tweeting out nonstop, begging for someone to give me a reason that made sense as to why this was happening. Because, Brian, I was seeing people from legitimate places be like, I love the under because of the Elam ending. And I'm like, ooh, you should have looked into that because that thing's gone. And I was not surprised by anything that played out last night.
If I cared to bet the game, I would have bet the East, but I completely forgot to. I just, like, just being honest, but like a lot of people that I spoke to were surprised that the West were favorites, given that their team is, you know, Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic in particular, they don't care. A lot of guys don't. And on top of that, you have, I mean, LeBron James, I don't know how much he wants to win an All-Star game at that point. Like, I'm not going to sit here and seriously break down the game. But there were a lot of reasons as to why this was the case, that the East probably should have been favored all along, and they proved that. And then with the total, which I think was 330 when I last saw it before tip-off, I did glance at it just out of curiosity. And it was like, okay, like 330? Really? Like, there are NBA games that are challenging 330 now because of the rules, the pace and space being turned up to 1,000, the lack of defense and things of that nature. I didn't see how 330 was logical. So I think the bets were all over the place, like the over unders. I should have took more advantage of it. I was just like, I did well on UFC the night before. So I was like, you know what?
There you go.
Let's just chill. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I had them. And I had him winning by knockout over Alexander Volkanovski. That was documented in our Action Network prop squad piece. But yeah, like I don't know what to make of the All-Star game at this point.
Well, can I just say, so it's been weird for me because I don't want to come off like a pain in the you know what, because you're like what you just started doing right was breaking down all the reasons why the East made sense. And basically, Brian, because I was sat here in this chair, I just did that before the game. And everything I said, now I was wrong about the All-Star Game MVP. I wasted money on Giannis and Donovan Mitchell, whatever. But like,
good bets, by the way. In fairness, good bets.
But the East was significantly younger, with the starting lineup having two guys playing for their head coach who's actively under fire, and the hometown guy. LeBron, 2 years in a row, hasn't played at half. People that you know, and rightfully, were banging Luka points unders. He's the most talented player, arguably, on his team. He doesn't care about the game. Jokic doesn't care. Why was anybody surprised? People signed up for the wrong thing. Like, I don't know what else to say. And this is the result that we got. You want to try the international versus USA game? I'm all for it. Maybe Luka and Jokic will try then. But otherwise, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. And I'll add this quickly, and then we can get off of this. The Elam ending had multiple phenomenal final fourth quarters with plenty of defense. So the idea that Adam Silver went, ooh, it didn't work for 1 year, let me change it, that's on him. And I feel no pity for the man. That's on him, Brian.
The Elam ending was great. It's the reason why I started watching the basketball tournament in the summer. The Elam ending was tremendous, especially if you're there live, because I've seen it live a couple of times at the basketball tournament games in New York City, for example, at the times that they've come out here over the years. And to get rid of that for the All-Star game, it was like that was the one thing you had that could make guys play hard. And the discussion today is why don't guys play hard in the All-Star game? And it's like this is just how things are trending. Like, things that used to be taken seriously in general, broadly, things that used to be taken seriously in a lot of ways just aren't anymore. The All-Star game is just one of those things. The dunk contest is seemingly another. We'll see what happens with the future of the three-point contest. So far, so good. You know, we had a nice three-point shootout night. The skills challenge, that was probably the worst one ever. But this is kind of where we are with All-Star weekend at this point.
I will say, and I'm not, but the thing that I am most upset about by far is the skills challenge. I don't know.
Yes.
I think we're like somewhat similar in age, Brian. Like, I do romanticize of the days when D-Wade and Chris Paul treated it very seriously. I can't, like, people are upset that people don't try in the game or the idea that they can't get people to try for a 20-second obstacle course is the most mind-blowing thing possible. But again, well, go ahead.
It's like, why are you there? Why are you there?
If
somebody who, one, hates losing, has been accused of being a sore loser, and I'm not even calling that inaccurate, right? In a competition, I hate losing.
Yeah.
So if I'm in, I don't care what it is I'm doing for those 20 seconds, 25 seconds, like, yes, I'm trying to compete. I'm trying to go all out. Unless we all establish beforehand, we're not taking this seriously. Like, I don't like losing. I'm also not that dude in gym class where I'm going to go harder than everyone else just because. But it's like, if we're playing 2-on-2, we're playing 2-on-2, and I'm not losing you. Like, with the skills challenge, you're looking at dudes just all lazy, just going through the motions, like they're too cool for this. Anthony Edwards shooting left-handed, that was awful. Like, come on, bro.
I also sneaky think they ruined Ant's whole weekend. He shot lefty in that. He didn't do it once in the All-Star game, and I think they ruined his whole weekend, which is interesting, but it is what it is. I thought that he was going to try and get a bunch of lefty shots up in the game, and instead he took none. He took zero lefty shots. Coward's way out. Meanwhile, his teammate scored 50. Brian, give me a second half team that you're eyeing up. Positive, negative, any direction. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for?
I really am intrigued by the potential of the Dallas Mavericks. On a serious note, I actually think because the Western Conference is wide open, Kevin, wide open. And Dallas, I don't remember what their price was. It's an outrageous price. Luka for MVP is something that I looked at last week and spoke about it. It's plus 1,100 or so. I think he can make a run at that. Jokic being minus odds for MVP at this point, I don't see the value in that right now, in betting that. I think he could win the award, obviously, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. And you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's like the proverbial favorite right now. Like, adding Daniel Gafford was the most underrated move of the trade deadline. Daniel Gafford's really good. Mm-hmm. For people who haven't seen him, I don't blame you. He's been in Washington. He was probably their best player just from not just a counting stats standpoint, really, but just an impact standpoint. And he showed that in his three games in Dallas, who have won six straight three since integrating him. And, oh, by the way, PJ Washington, who, when his shots fall, like, it'll be a scary sight. for opposing teams. PJ Washington also doesn't have to carry the load offensively the way he kind of had towards Charlotte and struggle with that. Much more easier role for them. I am scared to bet on Kyrie Irving, but he hasn't done the Kyrie things this year, so he's been fine. So betting on that, I mean, I think Dallas can make a run in an open Western Conference, and Luka Doncic, as we know, is as talented as anybody in that conference and perhaps in the league.
I got to tell you, I'm very happy about that, Brian, because I have a preseason Dallas ticket, and then every time I look at the standings, and I'll do, you know, just a little mock, like how I see it going, and I keep putting Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. I'm like, am I just trying to root on the ticket? But I see it, man, and they've been, because it's been underrated, to your point, they've been really good when Luka and Kyrie are out there together. I mean, they've been really, really good. I love the look. I absolutely love the look. I wish we had more time. We'll have to do it again. There's going to be games again on Thursday. Brian, I appreciate it. And congrats on that Teporia hit, by the way, over Volk.
Plus 400. I was very, very happy about that. But, yeah, I think Dallas can make a run. Now they have their center position locked down with Gafford and Derek Lively. So that should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Awesome. Great stuff as always. Make sure you guys stay locked in on everything Brian Fonseca is doing. Joe Lisi up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's been too long. It's been way too long. You don't realize it. Kevin Walsh here. It's Game Time Decisions. Joe Lisi's back.
I mean, you have withdrawal. You have withdrawal. Just admit it.
It's been a long time. No, hold on. I didn't realize I did until we got into the break. Don't leave me ever again like that. Gosh. Oh, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're hoping on a couple.
Let's just catch up.
I know. Let's do a couple of catching up on a couple of wheel plays tonight. Under Houston tonight. Houston and Iowa State were going under. The 130.5 that's up from 127.5. Houston, untypical, playing a lot of overs this year. They played an over on Saturday afternoon. I lost that. I'm back on the saddle again today, under 130.5, and I took a shot. I don't like it that much now, but I'm on the Wildcats, plus the 8.5. Hang in there. Hang in there.
Hold. Listen, a lot of forces working against you, we hear. All right, some sizzle plays. Do you want to give us any NBA All-Star Game takes? Did you like the plays that Doc Rivers ran, his first 15, established the tempo?
Well, it would figure that this Dame Lillard steps up and wins MVP, right? 39 points. Can't hit a three-pointer in the regular season, but why not?
Not on that.
Oh, please. I thought Luka would win MVP just because it's like they always like to give – they always like to – you know this. The NBA likes the storylines. They gave it to Giannis when he was breaking out before he won the championship. Now Luka's the next man up. So I just figured that Luka would, you know, have a good game and potentially – he was 19-1. Here comes Dame time out of nowhere, left field. Now watch, a couple of games in, I'm going to bet his 3 points. He's going to go 1-for-17 from the field and eight points in like four quarters. I'm going to want to just jump off, you know.
Rozier.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I know you're hunting down that Thursday, salivating, waiting for the association to be back. But believe it or not, Joe, I did bring you here to talk a little football. And there is an interesting quarterback who is going to be up for grabs. We know that, and that's Russell Wilson. Russ's stat line's very odd for what he put up for Denver this year. 26 touchdowns to 8 picks looks absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he was definitely better than his first season in Denver, where he was unforgivably bad. Up the completion percentage by 6 points, but the yards per attempt dropped. Very conservative. Check down specialist. Just start with this. What do you make of the talent of that Russell Wilson brings to the quarterback position now, wherever he lands this offseason?
I think he's slightly above average, Kev, in regards to can he come in and, if called upon, potentially lead like a Gardner Minshew type of run with the right team? I think he can. But asking him to be the guy, asking him to be the face of the franchise, locker room guy, that's the problem for Russell Wilson, and he struggled with Denver. Even though the stats look good, he was never the face of the franchise. And the players in that locker room, offensively and defensively, never bought into Russell Wilson, and that's the problem. So in the right type of scheme, and I'll throw a team out there that you might be on board with, he's already said, you know, previously, years ago, he always wanted to go to New York. I mean, is it any better than Daniel Jones coming off the neck injury? I know Tyrod Taylor's there, but if you get Russell Wilson, maybe match with Brian Daboll, maybe, just maybe, you could catch lightning in a bottle. But I wouldn't want him on my team.
So I think to look just specifically at the Giants side of it, it feels like they're going to make sure that Daniel Jones gets another crack at it. I'm not sure how fruitful that's going to be, but I as well, if I was Brian Daboll, would rather try my hand at Russ Wilson than Daniel Jones. That's just how little I think of Daniel Jones. Overall, what do I think of Russell Wilson? Not a lot. I was excited about what he could be for Denver heading into that first year. I bet them to win the Super Bowl. I am the only person who did that and thinks it was a smart idea. And I'll say why. And nobody cares. I'm opening 2022 Super Bowl bets. But everything else about that football team kind of worked out. The defense was, for the first half of the year, the very best in the league, right? Skill position players were fine, but he was completely broken. The fact that Sean Payton had this guy for a year, a lot of times, Joe, a coach will step in front of his quarterback and say, no, listen, he's doing this, he's doing this. And Russ has some baseline statistics that I feel Sean Payton could easily prop up and be like, hold on a minute. He had a great season, right? But he's not doing that. And because he's not doing that, it suggests that Sean Payton knows that a lot of the good from Russell Wilson is fraudulent. So that would make me very concerned about bringing him in. There is, though, odds right now for where Russ could go. And the favorite, okay, and these odds were from the 13th of February, so less than a week ago, have the Pittsburgh Steelers as the top team, Joe, at plus 100. How do you feel about that potential marriage of Russell Wilson as the Steelers' starting quarterback heading into next season?
I don't like it. I think if we're talking Steelers starting quarterback, I would lean to Justin Fields. And that's if Chicago wants to get rid of Fields and trade him, because I feel that Mike Tomlin's all in. And if you want that type of quarterback that has a little bit mobility or has above average mobility that could take a game over with his legs, I'd much rather have Justin Fields, especially at his age, than Russell Wilson now in terms of his third overall team. That is the problem that I just have. Fields, to me, would be a better locker room guy. He would look up to Mike Tomlin. The players in that locker room he could build and gel with, younger players on that roster, with Kenny Pickett to duel it out. And, you know, if Russ comes into Pittsburgh, he's going to come in just the way he did to Denver. He's going to look to be the savior. I just don't see it. That's a young football team. And are they going to respect Russell Wilson? Absolutely not. So I think it's a bad fit for Pittsburgh. I would look to some of the other veteran teams. Like I said, you know, if Washington didn't have Kev the second overall pick, that would be another fit potentially for Russell Wilson.
You know, I think, and Washington is on this list at 16-1. The thing with Pittsburgh is because of who Mike Tomlin is, though, Joe, I'll say this. They're 42-1 at the moment to win the AFC, right?
Right.
In front of them, there are 3, 6, 9, there's 12 teams in front of them. So that would suggest they would have a sizable yes price to make the playoffs. Maybe a win total. Could it be 7.5? I bet over. They get there, right? And that's kind of the interesting thing about Pittsburgh as a whole. With Tomlin and seemingly any quarterback, they're going to get to 8, 9, max out at 10 wins. But it's leaving Pittsburgh in hell, basically.
Right.
I guess it's more so purgatory, right? They need to find hell and bottom out and get themselves an elite quarterback. The thing, though, and Joe, like, those are legitimate odds. The Pittsburgh thing surprises me because that's just, what, full-on competition for Kenny Pickett? I mean, don't they have to give Pickett a year of quarterbacking without, you know, Matt Canada as his offensive coordinator?
Yes, you would think, right? But it's the NFL. It's a win-now mentality. And if you if Mike Tomlin's that high, let's say, on Justin Fields, and he believes he could have more upside with Justin Fields than Kenny Pickett, I would go that route. Yeah. I honestly believe that Justin Fields could be a starter in this league in the right scheme. And if it's with the Pittsburgh Steelers, put it this way, Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh, it's a huge upgrade to what he had in terms of offensive weapons in Chicago. Outside of DJ Moore, there was absolutely nobody. The cupboard was dry. With Pittsburgh, you have George Pickens, you have Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, you have Pat Freiermuth. There are weapons there that he can evolve and progress with in the right offensive scheme. And that's why, you know, if you catch lightning in a bottle with Justin Fields, you're not just getting 1 year. You're getting maybe 6, 7, 8 years down the road where Russell Wilson is a one-hit wonder. How much you're going to get in the tank with him?
So I think you're right in that if a team is in the market for both Fields and Russell Wilson, they're doing it wrong. I think you're absolutely right about that. They're not checking the same box. The two spots for me that I think teams should be looking at, you mentioned it, I think Washington, and I think the New England Patriots. I think those two teams will be drafting quarterback. Let's just say Caleb goes one, okay? That means that those teams will either have Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I am currently a believer in sitting a quarterback if you have that opportunity. And if I'm, let's just use New England, Joe. You start Russell Wilson for 12 games, it's all good. And that allows your boy, let's use Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Look, again, forget what Russell Wilson currently is. That is a guy that has had high, high-level years in this league, has been through all the ups, and now has been through the downs. I'd love Jaden Daniels to get a season behind Russell Wilson, let Gerard Mayo get a season under his feet before throwing Jaden Daniels out there with no weapons to speak of, and I think that works perfectly.
It does. There's no. It's a complete rebuild, New England. I don't care what anybody says. It is a strip it down and start it back up from scratch with all the offensive weapons. There's no offensive identity. You get Russell Wilson in. You could play him, like you said, 10, 12 games. And then the second half of the season, allow Jaden Daniels to get game experience. What's wrong with that? I think you draft, if you're a New England, if they draft any defensive player in this draft, they're doing it all wrong. They need major offensive weapons, and they need to develop those weapons this year.
I think it's a great point. It might sound extreme, but explode on the offensive side, take a year off of being a great defense. Joe, appreciate it as always. We will do it again soon.
Can't wait, brother. Love the show.
My man, Joe Lisi there, as always. Feels wrong that I'm not saying catch us on Pro Football Today or College Football Today this weekend. Can we just do a pop-up episode, maybe? We'll see. Dave Sharapan's in the mix next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Game Time Decisions continues on a Monday night. Kevin Walsh alongside now Dave Sharapan, the consig. Dave, no hat. It's got to be brought up. I'd be doing a bad job if I didn't bring it up.
Got Coach on next hour on In-Game Live.
Okay.
And, you know, he gets very excited when I don't wear a hat and he's coming on. We're going to talk basketball, me, him, Ranieri.
Right. Okay.
And search for this second best team in the East. So cleaned it up. All nice, tight. It's real. It's really
looks
close.
Good.
Yeah.
Looks
yeah,
good.
So we're ready to go. I got one ready, though.
All right.
Just in case you come up with the right answer here for who the second best team in the East is. I'm ready to go.
We can have some interesting conversations, but I'm going to need you to explain something to me, okay?
Please.
Now, I know how a conversation between you and I would go if we debate how last night's game was, okay?
Oh.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant, Dave. I need you to explain to me. You keep your ear to the ground. I was tweeting, looking for answers. Nobody could give them to me. Explain to me why clearly avalanches of sharp money came in on the under in the NBA All-Star game yesterday. Please tell me why that happened.
Well, because they put the number really high. It was the highest starting number ever, right? So word got out that play was the under. But they didn't tell anybody to play the game. That was a big mistake. That was a nice win for the books. They got everybody. Yeah.
Okay, I got to tell you something, man. They didn't get me. And anybody that watched Game Time Decisions, I'll just tell you that. I got to tell you, Consig, and I've mentioned this a few times, but I heard people breaking that game down incorrectly. And I don't mean I disagreed with their breakdown. I mean they were referencing the wrong format.
Yes.
Were people betting this much money without knowing the format of the All-Star game? Is that possible?
Very possible. Yeah, people bet things for various reasons. And sometimes they're wrong reasons. Sometimes they're right reasons. And then results happen. And they start to question the reasons or the sources they get, which I think is going to be the future of this business. Is because it's been the past forever. Good sources of information are very important in life, let alone sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to a lot of people say a lot of things. If you didn't know the format, you probably shouldn't just take a pass. But that happens. I know this. The last year I was in the room where they started to change the rules with the Kobe ending and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I threw my arms up. I said, I'm not putting a number up. I'm not booking it. Whatever number we put up, they're going to go over. It doesn't matter. They're not playing defense anymore. If you guys are watching the games, you can see. Players don't even want to be there. Why are we doing this? They asked me to put an in-game number up. They said, you can sit and do the game in-game. I said, you can sit and do the in-game. There's no chance of doing it.
Can I just say something, though? Can I just say something? I saw a clip you tweeted out of when there used to be defense in the All-Star game. First of all, there was 270 points in that game that you were tweeting about. That's first of all. Second of all, it was a 5-point game. That's why it was when they had the Elam ending, Dave, they were playing defense. In the fourth quarter, they were playing defense. So the idea that Adam Silver thought taking that away was going to help, he was way wrong. Okay?
Way wrong.
But again, I don't care about any of that. I saw someone say, hey, man, 5 of the last 6 have gone under this. Who cares what happened under a different format?
Thank you.
Dave, the last 2 East-West games had 369 and 374. So the books opened up a light number to start, and everybody went under. And then sat there and bitched the whole game that nobody was playing defense? It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I'm trying not to be rude about it. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I'm sorry. It was poorly capped by all these people that bet under. It was poorly capped. You know whose effort? The East tried, and that's why they scored 211. Yeah. That's why they scored 2, because they tried. Yeah. If they both tried, there'd have been 400 points in the game, and there should have been. Except Luka and Jokic don't care, and then people still kept loading up on the West. What the hell was going on yesterday? What were people doing? I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I love a good K-Dub rant on a Monday, let alone a President's Day holiday with no basketball. You're absolutely right. Listen, this is, again, we've seen these things so many times in the past. You know, I sat in Vegas and watched and listened to breakdowns. I've had super experts come up to the counter and ask the limit to play on a game and tell me why. They know everything. K-Dub, this is the time. Football season's over. I heard you talking about it with Lisey. It's good to talk about football season. There's no more pro football today. There's no more college football today. So this is when they all come out, Kevin, for an All-Star game. Like, really? Okay. Good luck with that. Now we gotta look forward to the futures and who's coming up. What do you do with the format of the game? We're talking about not playing the game. I don't know what you do with it, but you don't play it like that. I don't want to see that again.
Again, I don't know. Everything the East did was great. The West just has to try. That's all. Everything the East did was great. Dave, people are complaining. Hold on, Dave. You want them to pick up at half? Dave was shooting them from half.
You want them to pick up. Tyrese Halliburton was dotting I's in the first quarter. They're the greatest players in the world. Yeah. You give them this much room, and that's what's going to happen. Guys aren't going to pick up in transition. It's okay. They shot 93s. They made 40% of them. That's what happens. It's what happens. Somebody tell Luka to try, okay? We'll leave it at
just
that.
Just a little.
Now, you asked me a question. You asked me a question. Yeah. Second best team in the East.
Say it. I'm listening.
I bet an updated win total. I bet an updated win total today. I'm going to do this again as my best bet to close out today's show.
Eastern
I'm
Conference
taking the
team?
Milwaukee Bucks over 50.5 wins.
What?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Consig. If you asked that question, preseason, right? Who are the two best teams in the East? You ask 100 people. How many ballots out of 100 come back with Boston and Milwaukee in some order? 95?
98%.
I was initially going to say 98, too. Missed out. I didn't cap that right. All right, here we go. Still. But they need to go 16-10 the rest of the way to go over 50.5. The Knicks' live win total, they need to go 17-10. The Magic's live win total, they need to go 16-11. I don't care about the Bucks winning the title. We're talking regular season. We're talking regular season. And they're booking it. They're booking Doc's 3-7 record, which is real, but at some point that turns around. And I think we get some momentum coming out of the All-Star game, and I'm taking the Bucks updated win total over 50.5.
Do they have the majority of the game? So this would be like we got 3 days to look at this stuff. This is an assignment. We'll put somebody on this assignment. We'll do it ourselves because we put in the work. I'm going to go through the schedule of the Bucks.
Yep.
And basically handicap. They're going to be favored. You said they got 26 games left?
26, yeah.
They're going to be favored in what? 22 of them? Minimum?
So I did a generous version. They have a hard schedule. I said favored in 19 of them.
Okay. So
but again,
they just win the favored games, and they go over that number. That's easy.
Yeah.
I like that. Majority at home or on the road of the 26?
I don't remember like the 15, exact split. Well, I can tell you now. So they've played 30 home games already. They've played
so they only have 26 11 home.
On the road. So more
15,
road.
15 on the road. Okay. Are you concerned about injuries?
So here's the thing with stuff like that. If Giannis gets injured, yes, the bet is dead. But if I bet them under 50.5 wins because Giannis is going to get injured, then I should just go out there and play lottery. You know, Giannis is healthy right now. Dame is healthy right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not a team. Like, there are teams who are, like, the Lakers, right? LeBron is going to miss the first game coming out of the All-Star break. That's not great. Kawhi missed the last game before the All-Star break. So you know going in to those updated numbers, all right, let's be a little cautious here, right? Like, I'll give you another one. And I'm not playing it, but Boston needs to go 21-6 to go over their number. I believe it is. Is it 20-6 or 21-6? Yeah, 21-6, which is huge. They are 6 games up on the Cavs right now for the one seed. How much hoop are they playing the last week of season?
Not much. If they have the one seed clinched, they're not going to play at all. Those games will mean nothing. So
you got to be careful.
That's a good bet under. If we can, we'll go through. This will be good. Top 4 teams in East. This is the assignment. I will do it. You will do it. We will compare the numbers. It's the Celtics, the Bucks. We're throwing the Sixers out and involving
so there's no Philly win total. I would have been on the over. There's no Philly win total live because they don't know what to do with Embiid. They don't know when he's back.
Don't know. Very difficult. But
I'll tell you this. You want to talk about your dream scenario.
Uh-oh.
Knicks Sixers round one. Oh, my God. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Every wheel in the world will be on the Knicks. And Thibs will be fired at the end of the series. Thibs will be gone. Oh, the Sixers would rout him.
The Sixers rout the Knicks?
Come on. You know it.
Come on.
What are we doing? I love the way you say it. I'm very confident.
What are we doing? I love it. Very. Very. You know I don't do this for everything. Certain things, they just line up. Oh. Oh.
Can we get that? Would that be the 4-5 matchup? How does that even happen?
That's the 4-5 if the season ended today.
With the Knicks with home court?
Yeah. By a half game.
We're getting the Sixers at a plus?
Hey, I got a hockey pick for you. It's not off to a good start. Last time that was the case, we flipped it around with a hat trick. We don't need a hat trick. We need an assist. I got Braden Point over half an assist, minus 110. The problem is the Lightning are trailing 2-0 at the end of the first period.
That's okay. That's okay. That's
good. Have you seen the scores, by the way, on the ice?
Oh, they're lighting it up today. President's is goals. Goals, you want to talk about juice. I was thought of you this morning. I said, he better have some overs. He better have the salami over. There got to be something there for
Did the salami already hit, I would imagine?
It might not need the last game. It's one of those. I mean, you know,
we had 17 in Minnesota.
Right. Vancouver lost by a field goal, 10-7, in a hockey game. That should clear the salami.
How'd that happen?
Easy. Yeah. Listen, did you go to the stadium series? I almost flew back to go to MetLife for the game.
A lot of goals, though. A lot of goals.
Entertaining as hell. Big Kinsig was there working. Yeah, she worked at the game.
How about that? How about that?
It was good stuff.
Wow. All right. Not bad. Kinsig, it's been a pleasure. We'll do it again tomorrow. How about that? Game time decisions. We're back in a minute.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close it out here. Game time decisions. Coming up next on Sports Grid, will be in game live. You just saw Dave Sharapan. It'll be him and Joe Ranieri. Coach James Young will join them for the opening hour as they follow this live College Board. I'm sure they'll also jump in live on the ice. Dave mentioned it. There's been a ton of goals scored. So far, none from the Lightning. We're rooting on our Braden Point over half an assist prop. Later on tonight, we're going to root in the Houston-Iowa State game with a prop on Keyshawn Gilbert over 11.5 points, averaging 16.5 over his last 9 games. He has been playing a ton of minutes in that stretch, and in games where he's played more than 30 minutes, he's not missed an 11.5 prop. So a couple of looks for you on tonight's board. But let's get in the mix. Updated NBA win totals hit 2 today, maybe some more tomorrow as we wait for the NBA to get back in the mix here on Thursday. Give me the Milwaukee Bucks over 50.5 wins. Milwaukee will need to go 16-10 to get over this total. I understand their schedule is hard relative to the rest of the league, but the Milwaukee Bucks are still, to me, one of the best teams in basketball. The disappointment is all relative. They are 35-21. They have one of the 5 best records in the association. And Doc Rivers has struggled, no doubt, since taking over. 3-7 is atrocious, but it will get better. In the regular season, we've still seen Doc win a ton of games. Doc now acclimated more to this basketball team, getting the All-Star break, not being away from everyone, but being around Giannis and Damian Lillard and refocusing this group here, I truly believe is essential. Look through their schedule. You tell me how many games you feel Milwaukee will be favored in. I think a generous number is 19. And I say generous as in not escalating that to 20, 21, 22 games being potentially booked as the favorite in. Plus Milwaukee fighting for key playoff seeding, making sure that they have home court advantage in at least the first round of the NBA playoffs, if not the second round, and hunt the Cavs down for the 2 overall seed. Give me the Milwaukee Bucks over 50.5 wins. We'll do it again tomorrow on Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh. See you then.